Hi, friends. Welcome to Neighborhood Church Podcast. Please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to find all the ways you can stay connected during COVID-19, or if you'd like to give. Please join us Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., where we stream our services on our webpage, as well as Facebook Live on our Neighborhood Church page. And if you happen to miss it, you could still go back and watch the services. Have a good and beautiful day.
Yeah, I love stormy days. Mm-hmm. We are not babysitting, dog sitting right now. And so the dog we're watching would bark, and then it would make our dog bark. And so all the dogs were in the bed with us, which makes for no sleeping. And we had talked about before we got a dog that there would never be a dog in our bed. And last night there was our dog and then somebody else's dog.
Yeah.
And Chris woke up and he's like, no, this dog has to get out of here. I'm like, uh-uh. We need sleep. The dog has to stay in the bed because it stops barking.
Well, I woke
and
up.
He was probably scared because there was so much thunder.
Yeah, but like I woke up and this morning and I felt something moving by my leg. I look and there's one dog. I look up and our dog's sitting right next to Nikki's face. And I'm like, oh, Nikki's become the crazy old dog lady.
Well, you get to a point when you're so tired that it's like no more rules. No rules. There are no rules. Whatever we need to do to make there be quiet in the house.
Yeah. That's great. I like that Angela and her dad are having a private conversation on Facebook right now.
Well, this is a part of our community, right?
It is. Love is love.
It's morning. We're having coffee. We're here again. Oh, live on Facebook.
Who got haircuts?
Haircuts.
Did you get? No. Yeah, you did?
Not yet.
No.
I'm on the schedule. I'm not as cool as you. I didn't get in.
I got the beard. But I'm keeping the hair. Nikki is loving the hair.
Oh. Yeah.
Love it. All right, so we're doing our banter, buying time, because we're supposed to start in 10:05.
People like the banter.
Yeah, they like the big
or
fan.
You and I like the banter, and it's kind of what we get.
Yeah.
Good morning. A good thunderstorm is awesome. And we've missed it. Here's the other reason I like this weather. I didn't have to lug four big pots of water or big jugs of water out to water my vegetables this morning. Like the sky did it, so less work for me.
The Lord.
More coffee.
Honey. The Lord did it.
The Lord watered the garden.
Okay, ready to start?
I'm here.
Come on, let's do it.
Ready to
All learn. Right, I heard you say this already, but June is officially Pride Month. Oh, thank you. And so to all our friends who are non-binary, two spirits, LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. We are so thankful for the first time as pastors, we can say Happy Pride Month.
Happy Pride Month!
So great. So we're so thankful for all the people and all the allies who said that you're welcome to this table and you can flourish and that your love is valid, and we're so excited. And all the new friends that we made through it. So here's to you.
Yeah. Here we go. We love you.
Yeah. Next week, can I get to this? I was going to say, thank you, Hannah, for saying that.
Mm-hmm. The stickers. Talk a little bit about what we want to do.
We're going to put a bunch of stickers and our, what do you call those things? Pins.
Stickers and pins in our mailbox.
That you can feel free at any point to come and grab some. Just remember that other people will be touching them, so I would disinfect them.
Or just wash your hands before you reach in and wash your hands after.
Well, and then, but I'm saying this might, other people might be touching this as well. Anyways, okay. So, but you can come and grab a couple 13, 14, throw them in your car, throw them on your cup, or put them on your hat. I think
other
right there.
Side, yeah.
Yeah, so we just want to make that available to you because Bree Thompson is on our staff. She designed them and they're amazing. So we want to make that available to you. All right, the other thing we're supposed to have, oh, hey, we got some new, what we used to call them small groups, now we call them tables, right? We're going to have, we want to have life-giving conversations around every table in our communities. And so we have a couple new tables that are going to start, and they're two book groups. Alethea Montgomery is going to be doing a book called What Women Fear, Walking Faith That Transforms. So Alethea is an amazing, amazing human. And that group is open to as many people as you want. And you can get all the information on our website at neighborhoodchurchmn.org.
May I ask, do we know, is it going to be a meeting group, person to person?
No, or all these Zoom? Are online. All these are going to be
online.
On Zoom.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And then my mother, Ann Sauter, is going to be leading a book group on the book Untamed by Glennon Doyle. And that book is, I'm actually talking about that book today. It is lit, right?
Yeah,
it's wonderful. So,
a great one to have a discussion on because there was a gal who from our church who donated a bunch of copies because it really spoke to her and helped her to grow. And so there's something about reading a book, but then we get a little deeper when we read it, but also discuss it with someone else. So some of those truths or questions that we have or something just in helping us grow, it's really good for us to discuss.
Yeah, something that inspired you. Mm-hmm. That's what for me it really inspired me. So. That group, my mom's group, is limited to the first 10 people. So I would smash that like button and
get
subscribe.
On that website.
Subscribe.
Register.
Yeah, you can get all that. All right, and then there's something. Oh, hey, I want to take a moment and say thank you to all the people who are tuning in every week. Do you call it tuning in? I feel like that's an old thing to say.
Well, we're old, so our kids would call us boomers.
Call you
this,
Karen.
You know this thing? Call me Karen. Call me Boomer Karen. I'm like, I'm not a boomer and my name isn't Karen, but I get the reference.
What am I talking about? Oh, to all the people who are watching or smashing that like button. Mm-hmm. But specifically to people who have continued to give or started to give financially to Neighborhood Church, thank you. We feel very honored to do this as our jobs and to create space for
lots of conversations.
Lots of conversations, a lot of awakenings, and also for me. So I just wanted to say we see you and thank you for giving. And if you'd like to give, you can go at neighborhoodchurchmn.org and you can give there.
Yeah, and you're probably also noticing too that there's a lot of places, I'm noticing even in our church, places that you can be giving to help support Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Whether you're helping the ACLU or the NAACP, there are lots of places that you can be donating your money, and so we say yes to that also.
Absolutely. We have a very generous
community. We have a generous community. I've also noticed, I want to encourage your work and your activism on your Instagram and your Facebook posts, the conversations, the arguments you're having, the way you're standing up and learning how to be an ally. Keep it up. We see you, and that matters. That matters for our friends of color, that matters for our friends that are in the LGBT community, and we really do want to make this a place where everyone feels welcome, and that we see a place where everyone feels loved and included. And so that doesn't mean we just sit by. There's some things for us to do and act. So keep posting, but let that move you to action also.
Yes, and you're kind of stepping on my touchdown call because that's my whole message.
Well, I'm good at that.
Churches, what are you doing? That's
Deb.
So think about it.
Awkward thing you do when you're like a
feeling awkward.
I usually step like this. You can't see it. Hold on. It's like a lean, but instead of that, I just did a step back.
You did.
Superstar.
Exactly. Nikki, when she's in front of people or on camera, she has like these nervous things.
You have them too, but we'll just talk about me.
Nikki, I'm a professional, right? I am a professional. That's so great. I think, yeah.
It matters.
That's it.
Yeah. You said I was stepping on your touchdown call. So
oh,
let's go back to.
No, that's my whole message is on about that. So.
Yeah. Let me just say one other thing.
Uh-oh.
This might be, maybe I'll do another awkward dance about it. But you're going to find white allies, you're going to find that you're going to fail. You're going to say things that are foolish. Or you're going to find that maybe you're over-functioning, you're posting a lot, you're posting too little, and that's a part of the journey. So don't let shame or embarrassment keep you from doing your work. And it's a long journey, so it's not a sprint. You're going to feel sometimes like you're sprinting. This is a long marathon. And so there are going to be times you're going to need to rest, you're going to need to refuel, because the journey is long, and that's one of the reasons that we're here every week, too, is to encourage you to keep it up.
Yeah.
We see you when you get tired. But your voice matters.
So
keep speaking up and keep exalting or moving higher black voices.
Okay.
I've noticed too that people are talking about black artists and musicians. That's good. Another thing you can do is be patrons. Go support the work that they're doing, all right? Don't just take from them, but we want to support the work they're doing, and we do that by giving money, too.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
And if you have not found that you're getting the world's greatest email every Thursday, and even some Tuesdays, we highlighted some different, a poem by a person of color. And so if you're not getting those, you can go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org, and you can subscribe there, or it's going into your beautiful, what do you call it, trash can. And you're missing out on some high level
trash can.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Betsy Norman. Okay, we're gonna have Stephen H.
Tight
jeans Hamlin gonna come over.
Go away. We're gonna worship this morning. It is really important for us to sing together, to experience some of the things that we've been feeling, getting it out with words and song. And Steve's gonna lead us in that.
Hello.
Yeah, wait. I'll get out of your way. Here's your. Do you want this?
Oh, look at that. I didn't bring my iPad today, so.
Use that however you
want. Thank you so much. Okay. This first song is Set a Fire by Will Reagan. I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. You set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God, to set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. There's no place. There's no place I would rather be. I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. Set a fire down in my soul. I can't contain, I can't control. I want more of you, God. Songs, 10,000 Reasons. and Jonas Mirren and Matt Redman. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, and worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name.
Chris up again.
Again. You're welcome. All right. Hello, friends. I forgot to announce a couple things. First off, Nate and Janine Cook. Ooh, I can't sit down. I'm too tall. Nate and Janine Cook had their baby a couple days ago, and they sent me a picture. It's one of the best things about being a pastor is people will invite you to celebrate with them, and like having those babies. So here's to you, Cook family. Woo! And then also, Bree just texted me and reminded me, saying that we don't have those table groups online yet. So that'll be happening. This week, so you can register. And lastly, we are doing our third grade Bible giveaway. Do you want to throw me one of those Bibles? What did I say?
Yeah,
day. Day. Giveaway day. Yeah, they both rhyme.
Fourth graders.
They're now fourth graders. But we're going to be delivering to our now fourth graders, last year's third graders, a Bible, because we are big fans of the Bible. And it's in third grade that students begin to, are able to comprehend more in reading, more than just pictures. And so we believe that the Bible is a life-giving, flourishing thing that can invite us into these beautiful, beautiful spaces. And so we want to give you one. And we use the Message translation because it is it's the one I read. It is a very friendly way of wording and still staying true to the original language. And it just makes sense. And so what we're encouraging third graders to do is to read through the book of Luke, right? Or Mark? Mark. It's Mark. Read through the book of Mark and then send me a message. It could be a video. It could be, I don't have Snapchat, Instagram. It could be a letter. It can be all those things. And then I will send you a gift when you do that, and we can have a little conversation about it. So you'll be seeing Angela and myself and maybe Nikki as we come into your place to drop it off. So here's the thing. We don't know all third graders are, because in our database, it doesn't go by grade, it goes by age. And so if you have a third grader or now currently fourth grader, please email us or send us a text or DM us so that we can ensure that we get you the Bible. Okay, cool. Thank you, honey. Sweet. I like that. So today we're talking about math. So here's the Dietrich Winter, who is a very smart math person. But we're coming up on a year of, it'll be August, Nikki? Yeah, August. August 1st is the year anniversary of when we transitioned to Neighborhood Church. And it has been amazing. And we did a series of messages that talked about not just like what do you experience when you come, not just what's it like, what are you gonna experience? We wanted to talk about who are we? We kind of lumped what Neighborhood Church believes or is for in like three big buckets. It doesn't cover everything, but it kind of says a lot. And you can find these on our website as well. And the first one is that we are a good and beautiful community. We say this all the time, a couple 13, 14 times a service, because we believe in human flourishing, always. That is who we are. And if we have a good and beautiful God, then we can be a good and beautiful community who can do good and beautiful things. Second bucket is that we're an inclusive community. And this is what we just celebrated, about being Pride Month. But inclusive goes further than just how you identify or who your partner is or isn't. It goes to, like, we want to be a table that includes people who are different from one another, that we don't all have to vote the same. We don't all have to look the same. We don't have to all laugh at the same jokes. But we can include people who see spirituality maybe in a different way. We can include people who vote clearly. If you're on like social media, you can see how what people like and what people speak up. And it might be hard at times if you believe something different, but I think it's something that makes us richer. It makes us be able to see the world in a more complex way. And that's what we're about. We want a table of difference because that's who God is. And the fullest expression of God is when we can get a wider, longer table of people who are different spots. But the last one is that we are a Christ-centered community, or what we call Centered Set. And that's what I'm talking about. Centered Set, I learned this from Dave Schmelzer. He taught me this a while ago. And I love it because it takes this, it's a mathematical theory that we steal and put it into like a spiritual conversation, which is like mathematics to spirituality. It's very, very, very different, but it's helpful. And there's many sets, but the two sets that we use to define is bounded set and centered set. And a bounded set is what a lot of people experience. Not all bounded sets are bad. I should start by saying that. Like a bounded set is where you have a piece of paper and you have a circle, and it is a clear boundary of who's in and who's out. And it defines you, right? So we do this every day in our lives. To be in the solder family, right? It's clear that there is a boundary of I have three kids and a wife, and if you're not my kid, all right, or I'm not married to you, then you're not a part of my Sodder family, right? That's a very normal thing. I have people live in Esco. We have Esco. Don't even get me started on boundaries with Esco, because there's a Thompson and there's Esco, but it's all Esco, whatever, right? But there's places in school districts that clearly say where you are. But we do this in systems, and sadly we do this in churches. And when you have a bounded set, you put your energy all on holding that boundary and then helping people move from outside to inside. And a lot of energy and a lot of resources go to that. And it's not inherently bad, but when you have a us versus them, and that boundary is for churches, right, is you say this this prayer of salvation, asking Jesus into your heart, getting saved, being born again, whatever word you want to use, a lot of evangelical churches, that's their boundary, right? That's like you were out and now you're in, and you're welcome to come and participate, but you really don't get to participate until you're in. And so when the energy goes to getting people to say a prayer or hit a button that says I am a believer or checking a box, a lot of energy goes to that, because then you can count them and you can clearly say now you're one of us. And we love to find out who us is and who them is, because then the other part of a bounded set is you put your energy of not just getting people in, but keeping people in, right? And also keeping people out. And sadly, this is what a lot of people have experienced when it comes to church, and maybe even ours. I'm not going to say that we don't have any kind of boundaries, because in schools, athletic teams, in institutions, in your employment, and in churches, there might be a bounded set, but then there's a whole other set of boundaries that are invisible that you don't know. And I've heard many stories of people, one story of a family who has a non-binary kid, and they got involved with this church, gave money, became friends with people, and there for 2 years before they heard a pastor get up and talk about what God's best is and how there's only male and female. And they were like, how come no one told us? There was all of a sudden a boundary that they didn't know. So, bounded set. I was a part of that system for way too long. What we have decided, what kind of community we are, is that we are a centered set, right? And centered set is you have no circle, no boundary. There is just one dot in the middle of the page. And it might be a data point, and everything's in relation to that center. And what we decide to put at the center is the Christ. So Christ is at the center. And the idea goes, you could be 3 inches from the center, you could be 17 miles from the center. And all that matters is not where you are in relation to that, it's where you're moving. Where's your arrow leading you? And when you do that, it's messy. When you do that, it's nuanced. The good thing about having a boundary is you can like know if you're winning or not. You know of how many us there are, and you can have a little bit more idea of who your community is and what we're doing and what we're for. When you leave it like wide open and we're giving people the freedom to move and behave and learn and operate in a way towards the Christ, that is a beautiful but also crazy, nuanced, mystical thing. But for me, it's the most freeing, because as a pastor and as a person, I want to learn, I want to grow, I want to evolve, and I want the freedom to move and include people in a variety of ways. And so Jesus talks about this often, of you could be really close to the Christ, right? Really close to the power, really close to the divine, yet feel like you're miles away. And Jesus spoke to the religious insiders all the time, saying, you're like this cup, you're shiny and beautiful on the outside, but inside you're disgusting and dark and it's not good, right? So it's not about where you're at, it's about where your arrow is pointed. And we're gonna talk about that 1 second. So if you are 30,000 miles away and your arrow begins to move for the first time towards the divine, towards the Christ, Jesus saying, that's the kingdom of God, it lives there. It's not about just in relation, it's about where you're moving. And Jesus speaks on this multiple times. And today I'm reading, where did I put it? Today I am reading out of John 14. Starting verse 6, this is what Jesus said. I am the road, also the truth, and also the life. No one gets to the Father apart from me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him. When you've seen me, you've seen him. And Philip said, Master, show us the Father, then we'll be content. Jesus says, you've been with me all this time, Philip, and you still don't understand? To see me is to see the Father. So how can you ask, where is the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you aren't mere words. I don't just make them up on my own. The Father who resides in me crafts each word into a divine act. Believe me, I'm in my Father and the Father is in me. If you can't believe that, believe what you see, these works. The person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things, because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing, and you can count on it. Ooh, I love that. So there's a couple things happening in here, right? So Philip, the American dream lives on. We want all the rewards with little amount of work as possible. Jesus, I'm gonna go to the Father, and Philip's like, hey, big fan of this Father. Can you just tell us who the Father is? Can you just show us the Father? Can you just tell us like the easiest path, the right way of doing it, right? This is what we all want. We want maximum benefits with little effort. And the reason Philip is saying this is because to see the Father was like they had this idea of like the kingdom of God was going to bring out this political revolution where they could be the people that they were created to be, that they once were, instead of now being oppressed and having the Rome's boot on their throat. And it would lead to all this revelation. So if they saw the Father, the kingdom would be there. And Jesus says, Philip, if you see me, you see the Father. This is why we say, I stole this from Greg Boyd, that we have a Jesus-looking God, and we can be a Jesus-looking people. And then he says, and if you can't even see the divine, right? He goes, you can't hear the words. Look at what I'm doing. So he puts like the words and the works of the Christ, of the divine, and he puts them together saying, like, you can say something, you can see me, but can you also see the life that is coming from me being at this table, from me being at this party, of me feeding people, of us welcoming the oppressed, of going to the marginalized? He says, that is the kingdom of God. So what it takes away from, Jesus doesn't say, oh, I'll tell you exactly how this works. Here's step one, say this prayer, do this thing, right? Sign up for this. Processes are not bad, right? But he doesn't make it about a process. He doesn't make it about this clear step. He says, see me and do things like me. And he even says, you're gonna do even greater things than I, which is this beautiful invitation for us to, that whatever Jesus did, he's saying, what are you gonna do with this newfound energy? Right, to quote Rob Bell, what are you gonna do now that this whole world is your teacher? What are you going to do with it? So it's all about this idea of moving. So when it comes to the centered set, right, that Jesus being at the center, is so easy in spirituality to kind of put our head down and have a circle of people. And that circle could be your family, it could be your friends, and it could also be a school, it can also be a church, right? And this could also be us. Again, we're not ignorant of the fact that we could also do this. But when you like put your head down and you include people and you just say, my arrow is pointing this way, and you've decided by some other person of power told you this, you've learned it, you read in a book, or you just believed it, and you have a group of people saying, nope, our arrows are going this way because that's what justice looks like. That's what love looks like. That's what how we should vote. That's what it looks like to thrive and to flourish. And you just say, I have one arrow and we're going that way. And those people in that circle, that people around you, more than likely are going to look like you, vote like you, spend money like you, probably have very similar bias, laugh the same jokes, all those like fundamentally believe in the same things, because it's easier. It's easier to be around like-minded people because you know all the rules. You know all the ways to operate and behave. And then when something from outside happens and someone says, well, why do we do this? Why do we say this is what love and this is what love isn't? Why do we spend our money like this? Why don't we have someone different? That can either go one of two ways. The healthy way is that you could be open-minded and learn. Sadly, what happens is they get demonized and they get shut out, or they say, sit down, be quiet, and be humble. Right? Because we got a good thing going here and we're going to continue moving on. But what that leads to, that desired result, is missing out on a depth. Because in the centered set, this is what I love about it. If we're willing to believe that we have hundreds, if not thousands, of arrows that are moving towards some things that are healthy and other things that aren't, right? Like for me, I know that I still have bias as a white, college educated man. Right? I know that I still have levels of bias and levels of racism in me. To say that I don't would be the most ignorant thing in the world. If you want to learn about whiteness, two things. Mike and Melissa Hendricks lead a class called Whiteness 101. That's going to be starting here soon. That is excellent. Second one is go to a podcast that Mike Hendricks pointed me to called Scene on Radio. S-C-E-N-E. And they, in the first season, they have a series called On Being White or On Whiteness. It is unbelievable. It is so good. I learned a lot that I still have some patriarchy and some definitely some white a lot of privilege, right? So I encourage you to do that. Now I forgot what I was talking about. Oh, but we have hundreds, if not thousands, of arrows pointing different directions. And if we, what I believe our job is to do as the church is help each other to move those arrows a little bit at a time, maybe just 2 degrees towards the center. But if you're willing to get your head up, you could see that there is this whole place that we call spirituality. And people are moving laterally, people are moving towards, people are moving away. And if we take a growth mindset and everything's opportunity to learn, then we can look up and say, hey, I can learn from these black women who are on the front line of justice and healing. Then I can learn from my non-binary friends. I can learn from people who are Muslim and how they see the divine. I can learn from indigenous people. And I'm reading this book on Wounded Knee. Right? The injustice doesn't even capture the word, right? We can learn from their pain. We can learn from their beauty. Right? We can learn from their story of how they love the earth and how they want the flourishing of humans. We can learn from people who are disabled, right? We can learn from trans people. We can learn from people who are the elders in our community. But if you don't look up and see that, A, there are people who are different than me, and we usually start that people who are different, we usually take as a threat, right? Especially white people. And this is what I have loved seeing is people in our community for the first time speaking out against racism, speaking out against patriarchy, speaking out against systems that are unjust that only benefit a few, right? It is a beautiful thing because seeing that maybe if I say Black Lives Matter, maybe I might get some pushback, but maybe you can inspire others. But we have to be willing to look up and we have to be willing to learn because the obstacles that that black people experience from what they have shared, right? Again, I'm not claiming that I know. Their obstacles are a little bit different than mine, right? But I can learn. And I heard someone say, being white's like being born on third base, right? And then believing that we hit the triple. And said, well, people of color are on the bench just waiting to get in the game, right? If you can see that, then you can learn and you can evolve and you can include, right? And that is a beautiful thing. So with that being in mind, there's 2 takeaways that I want to talk through. And these are from Glenn Doyle in her book, Untamed, which again, and just to say this, I put in a line, a couple people said, oh, it's so great that you're reading this, right, as a man. And I realized when a male author writes something, we don't have to go out of our way and say, oh, by the way, women, you too can read this book. But when a woman author writes something, often men can say, well, that's not for me. This book is for you, right? This book is lit. It is in fuego. It is unbelievable, right? So I'd encourage you to read it. So I'm going to give you two of her stories that apply to this whole idea of looking up in a centered set, moving towards Jesus, but learning from others. First one is this, is to trust your knower, to know your knower. And your knower is something deep inside you. It's not just like, oh, I know I want to eat 15 bags of chips, but they're little bags, Chris, so only 3 big bags of chips, but 15, right? That's all right. It's not like, oh, I know that I want to crush like all these beers, right? It's not like that. The knower is something deep down inside of you that awakens like that truth and that life inside of you, and you're like, to deny this is to deny my existence, right? Have you been there before, right? I have been there before. And her story, Glenn Doyle, is that she wrote a book called Love Warrior. Excellent. Actually, I only read like half of it, so I can't say. The first half was amazing. but it's a story about how she gets out of addiction, reestablishes her marriage, has a kid and is sober, and sold millions and millions of books to mainly an evangelical community. So after she writes the book, this woman walks in, Abby, and Abby is a professional soccer player for the U.S. women's soccer team, and she falls in love. And she feels this depth and this fierceness in this love, and she instantly knows, right, in her knower, this is going to cost me something, right? And read the book, I'll tell you more of the story. But what she had to do was to count the cost of saying, I know if I do this, it's going to hurt my husband. I know if I do this, it's going to hurt my kids. If I know if I'm gonna do this, it's gonna cost me millions and millions of followers, which followers equals money, right? This is her, not just her life, this is her also her career, and it's all touching. But she said to deny it, just to shove it down and say, well, I'll just be a good girl, I'll just be a good wife, and I'll just pretend that this love does not exist, would be, in fact, killing her. So there's times, right? And I've seen you, people who know I can't stay silent anymore. You know that you have to stop participating. You know that you have to get out of that toxic friendship. You know that you have to change careers. You know you have to start giving to this organization. You know that you have to speak up. You know you have to sit down. It is incredibly, incredibly important. Here's one story for me. And I was reluctant to tell this, but I think it's good. Is that when Black Lives Matter started, I think it was 7, maybe 10 years ago, when I read that and I read the stories, it incited something deep within me, in my knower, and it felt true and it felt alive. And I got, I had the privilege of speaking at a large church as my job, and I got on stage and I felt I have to speak this. I got up and I said, Black Lives Matter, talked about it. And then I said, Indigenous Lives Matter, right? Which I believe. And then I made some crack about like, Rancho Lives Matter and White Lives Matter. And I ended it with All Lives Matter. And I was celebrated for it. People are like, yeah, this is beautiful, right? And it wasn't until months later, right? So to start, I knew something deep in my knower that there's something alive, something true about this. But my knower, what I knew, wasn't deep enough. So it's still that I trusted it, but it didn't go deep enough. And it wasn't until several months later, I think I was listening to a podcast, or I was reading a blog, and a Black man talked about the ignorance of saying all lives matter. And I was floored, and I instantly went back to, I spoke 3 times that weekend, right? On Saturday and Sunday morning. I'm like, I spoke to thousands of people about this. And I felt shame. I felt embarrassed. But at the same time, I went back to Chris the 6 months ago when I felt that in my knower something deep. I'm like, that was still true. But I needed to learn and I needed other voices. I needed other people who were further along in the journey to say, Chris, that's great, but there's more. If you're willing to see, if you got your head up and are willing to see that other people's voices are not a threat, but it helps you grow into a deeper place. So I'm saying this to you is like, when you post it on social media, when you tell that coworker saying, we don't say, that's what she said, right? Those jokes are garbage, right? That's at the expense of women's bodies. When you see your cousin, your uncle write something incredibly racist online, right? You speak up. That helps not just you, it doesn't just help them, it helps other people who are watching for them to bring a depth to their knower. So whatever you feel in that, friends, you feel deep down that you're supposed to do, trust it. Because it will cost you something. Absolutely, and it should, right? Black people, my silence has cost people of color for what? The last 17 years I've been doing ministry, and just recently it's been speaking up, that has cost the LGBTQ community when I at a time in life that I excluded people. Trust it. That's the divine. And it's the divine saying, what if that arrow is about to move towards the Christ? And when Jesus says, you can even do greater things than I, what if that's the first step in doing those great things? But if you don't see, if you don't ask, and especially if you don't do, right? So trust that that's God, and trust that whatever, like for us to become Neighborhood Church, we lost some very good friends. We lost mentors. We lost family. But we knew this is what we had to do. This is what God was inviting us to do, right? And that pain wasn't from lying. That pain wasn't from trying to like get around the system or tell half-truths. No, we stepped fully into the light and says, this is who we see God, and this is who we are including, and this is how we love, right? And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for that. Right, so trust your knower, but do your knower. Here's the second part, right? Glenn Doyle talks about it, of calling it the island. And when she was going through this and trusting her knower and speaking out, of course, she was getting tons of backlash. She was getting called all sorts of, read the story. But one of the hard parts she shared about was with her family, especially with her mom. Their mom disagreed with her about falling in love. And her partner's name's Abby, and Abby and Glennon were gonna get married, and they already talked to their kids, and it was this idea and this place of flourishing and of love. And she talks about, like, for the first time she could be fully herself, and in this not pretending to be someone else, and love someone else and also be loved. It's beautiful. But she felt this tension and this fear about engaging with her mom, because her mom and her are very close. And she was talking with her partner, and Abby said, think about it like this. What if our home, right, is an island? Or it's like a castle. And in this castle, on this island, there is love and there's freedom for the first time. And it's working. And we're teaching our kids what it looks like to move in a place of love. We never respond in fear. We always move in love. Love over fear. And anyone who's going to come into the place, we have to drop that drawbridge. Anyone who's coming into this island, anyone who's coming into this castle, also has to move in love, because fear is like a disease. Fear is a pandemic, and we're not allowing that in our home. And I love that, because the thing is, you need a place to rest. You need a place to grieve. You need a place to cry. You need a place to be at a table and have karaoke parties, right? So who are those people? It might be your family, it might be a circle of friends, it might be chosen family, but you need it, friends. Because like what Nikki said, this is not this is not a sprint, right? As white people, and I know, and smash that like button if you felt this, you instantly feel, what are we gonna do? We gotta do something, all right? We need a book group. I did this, right? I talked to my friend Melissa and Mike, and Melissa is a what did I call her the other day? She is a fierce force of love. Right? But when you feel that, oh, I gotta do something, I gotta fix it. That is, as white people, we're used in our system, we can make things happen right away. This is going to be the rest of our lives, right? Speaking up and showing up in love. So if it's a marathon, you need a place to fall, you need a place to be and to exist. But here's the thing, because you're still going out there. I am not stopping, right? I want a place where Handsome and Amir and Amina and my kids and Heidi and Brandy's Makai, I want a place where they can flourish and where they don't just get a little bit of the scraps of some white supremacy system that only benefits a few. I want a place where people can flourish and be the fullness of themselves. So I will not be silent. I will not back down. This is who we are, and this is where we're going. And there will be people who say hurtful, racist, stupid, ignorant things, right? And that's gonna happen, and we're gonna take it. I will not allow hate. I will not allow ignorance. I will not let fear dictate who we are. So of course there's gonna be pushback, right? Of course there's gonna be like things that are really hurtful said at me, and I can take it. It hurts. I feel it. Every single word, every single comment, I feel, right? But I have a place where I can go back and I can leave that fear behind. I can go into the world and speak to power and push back the fear, but I can go back and I can literally have a karaoke party with my daughter, right? That, and you need that. So here's my invitation. Drink water. Sleep, right? You don't have to be on the gram all night responding to every single, you don't have to be the truth police, right? Speak, trust your knower when you're supposed to speak. Like, trust that inside of you. Trust it inside, you know what to do. But also take care of yourself. Go to your primary doctor, go see a therapist, right? Do some yoga, stretch, right? Do karaoke parties, because we need you and you're worth it. And also the people in this world who need an ally, who need a voice, who need a friend, right? They need it as well. So we're gonna sing a little bit more, but I'm going to pray. And my invitation to prayer is, if you feel exhausted, right? I saw something on Twitter of saying, on The Onion said, a white man feels exhausted after battling racism for 5 days. which is good, but it's okay to be tired, right? And people like me, I'm a 3 in the Enneagram, to be tired, I often equate to be weak. To slow down means I'm losing. And I want you friends to be in this world and in this space with me. So if you're feeling that, as I pray, close your eyes. One thing we encourage people to do as we pray is I have to hold my hands up higher. I feel like I'm Will Ferrell in that movie. He's like, I don't know what to do with my hands. But holding your hands open is just a simple invitation of asking the divine to give you what you need. It's a posture of saying, I'm in need. And what a beautiful thing to have this loving God who wants to give us, right? Wants to give us what we need. So let's pray. So God, our mother, God, our father, God, our sister, God, our brother. We welcome you. And I ask that you would bring life and you'd bring breath to where we feel exhausted, where we feel spent. And I pray that you would help us to define who are those people where we can do the karaoke party, where we can cry, where we can ask questions, where we can exist. And I pray for my friends who are feeling alone. Like, I don't know who those people are. I don't know where those people are. God, I pray, I ask that you bring wisdom and revelation. And will you give us the ability, awaken what's already within. Everything we need is already within. I pray that we'd come in touch with the reality that we can learn from other people. We could see other systems. We can see other ways of seeing the divine, of celebrating, of worshiping the divine. And that we can see and we can learn and we could grow. And awaken within us that knower, that wisdom inside of us that you have placed, that you've birthed inside of us to speak out against injustice, to find flourishing, to speak love over fear. And where we feel that we're sitting down in silence, we're withholding back because of the pushback of what it might cost us, what we might lose. I again, God, let that fierceness drive through. And I thank you that you did that for us. That the Christ modeled what it looked like to lay down its life so that there could be new life on the other end. Help us die. Help us die to the patriarchy. Help us die to the system. Help us die to the power that we're afraid to lose. Help us die to the bias and racist things that we have participated for far too long. Help us die to the selfishness so that we can flourish and so that others might flourish as well. We love you. Amen. All right, friends. Steve's going to close us with a song. And again, look forward to those table groups. We'll be online soon, and we love you. If there's anything we can do to help or to participate with you in, please DM us or send us a text.